Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. What does it mean to love someone? In the English language, we have one word, love, that's supposed to express how we feel in a lifelong relationship or a sacrificial action or most often just a friendly thought. We have the same word love that we use for how we feel about pizza as we do about our parents and our children and our spouse and our dog. And what does Jesus mean when he says that we're supposed to love one another? Is he talking about how we should feel, how we act, how we think about other people? And even if we do know what love means, how do we actually do it? Because that's a lot more difficult, I think. Can you love another person that you don't really like? Because Bonnie Raitt sung a song when I was in like junior high. I guess I was pining after some long forgotten girl. But this really stuck with me. It's the song, "I can't make you love me if you don't." I thought, that's true. That's very true. So is Jesus asking us to do something that's impossible? Yes. I think yes, Jesus is asking you to do something that is impossible. At least it's impossible for you to do on your own. The kind of love Jesus is calling us to think, feel, and act upon is something we must be empowered to do, empowered by the Holy Spirit. The fourth chapter of John's first letter is often called the love chapter because the word comes up over and over and over and over and over again. But it makes the point that our love, the source of our love, is from God. Some examples. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We love because God first loved us. I know that society has a lot of thoughts about what love is, lots of songs about love, that's for sure. They're very prevalent on YouTube and TikTok and movies and TV shows and even classic literature. You can learn all about what society thinks love is and what it looks like. But I believe that God has some thoughts on the issue too. And very few people pay attention to what God thinks about love. Even Christians, I think, often don't know, or maybe we just don't pay much attention to what the Bible says about it. But I think that it can help to know that in the Bible, there are lots of different words for what love means. It doesn't always mean the same thing. There's a confirmation lesson I teach at least once every other year, where we learn there are three words in Hebrew that mean love. And they're all important. They're all important aspects of love. Raya means friendship, love of, between friends. Ahava is committed or sacrificial love. And dod is erotic or sexual love. For example, I think we could all agree that there should be love in a marriage, love in a marriage. But really a healthy marriage would have all three aspects of those love. If it's missing just one, it's not a very healthy marriage. So if there's the love of friendship and the love of commitment, so raya and ahava, but no passion, no dod, then the marriage might seem lifeless. On the other hand, if you have the passion, the dod, and the friendship, the raya, but no ahava, no commitment, well, you might call that friends with benefits, but that's not a lifelong relationship, okay? If you have commitment, ahava, and you have passion, dod, but no friendship, no raya, Well, after a while, you might feel like your relationship is missing some depth to it. But here's the problem. When we talk about love, even in church, God's love, we're often stuck with this idea of a secular romantic notion that we were talking about in the marriage. We see in movies. We read about on the internet. We're stuck in that mindset, but God's love for us is so very different than our love for each other here on earth. If our love comes from God, as talks about in 1 John chapter 4, what is God's love like? The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, the New Testament was written in Greek, and Greek also has several words for love as well. I don't know why English only has one, but it seems like other languages know that there needs to be more than one. But in Greek, there's this word philos. It means friendship again, like Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. That's the idea. The word eros talks about erotic love or sexual love again. But then there's this word agape that's used over and over again in the New Testament about what God's love is like. And it's unconditional love, sacrificial love. In the book, The Three Colors of Love by Christian Schwartz, he explains agape in this way. Our standard for loving others is God's love for us. When God expresses his love toward us, he doesn't just give us something. He gives us himself. The essence of the Christian understanding of love is that we give ourselves away. God's love is the sacrificial love. John 3:16 is a great example. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that all who believe in him may not perish but have eternal life. So when Jesus commands us to love one another, he is calling us to this sacrificial love for others, to do the hard thing, not always the easy thing. And that's what makes it so difficult, because it's hard. It's very hard to be able to love another person in a sacrificial way, giving of yourself day in and day out. That is not an easy thing to do. In fact, it is not possible, frankly, without God. So what I would say is don't expect to be able to do this on your own. However, when you are baptized into Christ Jesus, you are filled with his Holy Spirit. You become a temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives within you, within your heart. So as St. Paul puts it, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me the strength to do it. Yes, even loving another person becomes possible. But how exactly? Well, that Three Colors of Love book gives a practical suggestion as to how to love the way Christ loves you. Remember that Greek word eros, referring to sexual love? Well, that kind of love begins with feelings. Here's the thing about feelings. I hear a lot of people talk about love like it's completely out of their control. It's like, I had to do it, I love them. Like, it's just like, I don't have a choice in this matter. Well, that's how we often talk about love. Like, what else can I do? I love them. I love. Because this is focused on our feelings. We feel strongly about another person. We start thinking loving thoughts about that person, and then we follow up with loving actions. It's just, if that's how it goes. Without that loving feeling, though, erotic love just doesn't happen. And so we apply this to every other kind of love, and we say, you expect me to love that person? I don't even like them. I don't have that feeling. I can't do what you're asking me to do. But this is not what God is calling us to do. This is not how God is calling us to love one another in Scripture. He calls us to love others the way he loves us. He calls us to agape love. And that has a completely different starting point. And that is not based on our feelings. Feelings are a part of it, of course, but not the beginning. Loving one another begins not with feelings, but with a choice. Just like how God chose to love you. Agape love starts with loving thoughts and follows with loving deeds and then, hopefully, ends with loving feelings. So we choose to love someone, even if we don't feel like it. We choose it because we know that God loved us the same way. We can even choose to love someone who we don't particularly like because, after all, God demonstrated his love for us, that he died for us while we were still sinners. The only reason we can love or even forgive another person is because God has already loved and forgiven us. So after we have chosen to love someone, we can act. We can give of ourselves. We can love not just with words and our thoughts, but with truth and action. Finally, after showing someone love in a practical way, we might find ourselves actually starting to care about that person. Surprisingly, sometimes. Here's the example that Schwartz uses as an exercise to see the difference between the usual way we express love and how God is calling us to express love. Usually, we follow our feelings. Our feelings tell us, I don't like so-and-so, which leads us to think, I hope I don't see so-and-so, which causes us to act and avoid so-and-so if we ever happen to be in their presence. Instead, God calls us to start thinking differently. God loves so-and-so, so I will choose to love them as well. And this leads to new kinds of actions. The next time I see so-and-so, I'll try to have a friendly conversation with them. Finally, you might notice that so-and-so doesn't seem quite so hard to like anymore because now you've had a positive interaction with them and your feelings have started to change, maybe just a little. So here's your homework. And again, remember, I don't expect just you to do this on your own. I expect that you will be forced to call upon God for help, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he will give you the strength to do it. Pick someone you know with whom you have a difficult relationship. If they're sitting close to you, don't look right at them right now. Let it be a secret. And just start praying for them. Just start praying for them. Those prayers are going to be your loving thoughts, okay? Next, make a plan for something good and kind you might do for them. I don't care how long it takes. You can keep praying for them until the right idea comes to you. And that's it, okay? You pray for them and you make a plan for what you want to do. You follow through on it. But I'm not going to expect you to change your feelings. You can't change your feelings on your own. Those feelings, in time, might start to change anyway, though. And then once you think you've done it with one person, you might try it again with the same person or pick somebody else. Once those feelings start to change a little bit, you might say, hey, this actually works. The Holy Spirit lives in me and is doing something new in me. Loving one another is not a suggestion, okay? It's not a suggestion that Jesus gives us. It's a command. But it is not a command that Jesus expects us to do on our own. He understands that loving one another means that we will need to completely rely on him more and more and more. And that means that by loving others, we will also be growing in our faith. And this is exciting because Galatians 5:6 says the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. And that's what we're going to be doing. By practicing your love for others, you will naturally grow in your faith. And by growing in your faith, you will naturally love others a little more often. It's a win-win for everyone. And honestly, I can't wait to see how God empowers you to love others in your life. Amen.